We're learning Shmuel Aleph. We're about to start Perek Chav Vav. But before we do that, I just wanted to discuss a little more the last pasuk in the previous Perek. V'shol nosan es Michal bito eshes David. Shol gave his daughter Michal, the wife of David, lefalti ben Laish asher migalim, to palti ben Laish who came from the place Galim. He gave his daughter to somebody else. The Gemara has a long discussion in Sanhedrin on Yud Tes exactly what the heter was. How is he allowed to give his daughter, who's married to David, to somebody else? Gave her as a wife to Palti? And we'll discuss the Gemara in a moment. But the Radak mentions this Gemara, and he says, V'chol eilah ha-devorim rechoikim miderech ha-pshat. The Gemara has an explanation, but the Radak wants to explain Poshet Pshat in the Psukim. How would you understand it on a superficial, you know, on a Poshet, the way the words are mashma? How could we understand that Shol gave his married daughter to Palti as a wife? And he explains, right now Shol was David had taken another two wives. And Shol had the right to say that this was a disgrace to the king. We even know Lavan. When Lavan had his two daughters, and when he gave his daughters to Yaakov, with Rachel, Leah, and Bilhah and Zilpah, and he told Yaakov later on, "In tikach noshim al b'noisai, if you take wives besides my daughter, HaKadosh Baruch will be a witness." It's a terrible thing. It's a disgrace to take additional wives besides those he was married to. Here, Shol had given his own daughter to David, and we just learned a moment before that David took another two wives, Abigail and Achinoam, Israelis. He had taken another two wives. So once again, Shol felt that this was a terrible disgrace to the disgrace to Shol, and Shol did what he did. But of course, it had to have a heter; it had to be mutal halacha. The Radak's pashup shot was David used to come back and forth. He was running away from Shol a good deal of the time, but once in a while he came back. At one of these times, Shol coerced David to give a get. And in other words, that's it. In other words, the type of person he is, he forced David to give a get. Now, of course, if Beis Din forces somebody to give a get, there are cases, koifin osoachi o meroitzani, Beis Din's able to force to give a get in certain cases, and it's a good get. But if it's not with the proper guidelines, ordinarily a forced get is no good. It's invalid. Kubishol felt it was forced, and afterwards David brought Adam, and he showed clearly, and he told Adam that no, he was being forced, and he wasn't maskim. Maybe David sent a shliach on the way to deliver the get, and then he canceled the shliach. Whatever the case was, Shol felt she was divorced, and therefore he gave her to Palti as a wife. But David, we'll see later on, took back Michal later. Later on, he remarried her because he learned that Michal was never married to anybody else, was never married to Palti. It was his wife from beginning to end. The get was invalid, and therefore there never was a marriage. And we'll see later on, there was no Aveira with Palti. But even, it was not a Kedushin, it was nothing. As far as David viewed it, she was his wife, and whatever happened had no legal effect. She wasn't married to Palti. Shol, though, felt that David gave the get, he was forced to, and he gave the get, and therefore she's mutter, and he gave her to Palti. Rav Arbanel learns, he thinks that pshat is also difficult to learn. It's shver, it doesn't say anywhere that he gave a get. He learns pashat pshat was, he gave Michal, his daughter, was the wife of David, to Palti, and Palti was in charge of taking care of her. His daughter Michal was young. In other words, she was married off. Even Meirav, who was the older sister, Shol had stipulated he would give Meirav to David. At that time, Meirav was either a katana, or we'll see, maybe a naira, but she was young. So if the older sister was 12, in other words, Michal was young, And she's married to this person, David, who Shaul is convinced is terrible, and he has every chasaron possible. And now he went ahead, David went ahead and he married two other wives, and he's always running away with a bunch of ruffians. So Shaul's considered, like, he's got to take care of his daughter. So he gave his daughter that she shouldn't chash the Shaul and go off the derech or something. You know, who knows what she's going to do now with such a husband who's always gone. So he gave it a palti to take care of. And even though it says later on he gave her to Palti, Palti, her husband, use the lashon of Isha, her husband. He said the term you find Isha in Yuma, where it says when the Kohanim spoke to the Kohen Gadol, and it discusses the avoid of Yom Kippur and the preparations for Yom Kippur, and they referred to him as Ishi Kohen Gadol. Ishi means is a term of respect. It doesn't always have to be a husband. So the Barba now learns. He gave his daughter Michal to Palti, and Palti was the ish, her ish, meaning the one in charge of her. But he was just to take care of her. And then, of course, later on, she was given back to David. That pshat is also difficult. We'll see later on when she was taken away from Palti. Palti went after her, and he was crying. And we'll see why in Chazal why he was so upset. If he didn't do the aveir, if he didn't live with her or whatever, but he was upset, Pasha, because he lost that mitzvah that he was miskaber, he had this mitzvah that he didn't do anything all this time. But Pasha Pshat, it says, when they took Michal from Palti, he went after her crying. Like the Barba, know that he was just in charge and it was a job to take care of her. Why was he crying and why was he so upset? It seems to be in the Pesukim that they were married. Therefore, the Malbim says push up shot. Even you have to learn like the Gemara says. There was actually a question: was she ever married to David? Which is a point that we've touched on before. But the Gemara discusses: was Michal ever married to David? Again, originally there was a stipulation, and Shaul had said, "Whoever kills Goliath the Plishti will get his daughter in marriage." And will become very wealthy, and the family won't have to pay taxes. That's what he promised. And Shaul killed Goliath, and David killed Goliath. But then it didn't say that killing Goliath would make the marriage valid, and that would be the kiddushin. Pashut was a promise: if you do this, we'll arrange a chasana. You'll be able to marry the king's daughter. And what happened was, Merav, the older daughter, ended up marrying somebody else. That was it with Merav, and we discussed that briefly in the Mefarshim. Some say she went ahead and she did it on her own. She was of that age where she was able to accept her own kiddushin. Whatever the case was, the king promised, but Merav married somebody else. Now the king still owed David a fortune. Yashrenu Hamelech Aisha Gadol, the king promised him a tremendous wealth. He told David, if you bring 100 Orlos Plishtim, as if he kills 100 Plishtim and he brings the Orla, the foreskin, like he circumcises them, if he brings the Orlos of Plishtim, he'll get his other daughter as a wife. He'll get Michal. So David did that. He brought the 100 Orlos Plishtim and expected to get Michal as a wife. Now at this point, Shaul really owed David two things. He had a long-standing debt, because he had promised from the times of Goliath, you're going to get a tremendous wealth if you kill Goliath. So he owes that all to David. He also owes David the fact that David right now is killing these Plishtim in order to marry Michal. Did David envision that the Kiddushin should be the fact that the king owes him this tremendous wealth, and if he marries Michal, they'll cancel that debt? We don't find anywhere that Shaul gave him that wealth. And there was like an understanding, he'll marry Michal and we'll forget about the money owed. If there's a milva, if you cancel a loan, if somebody owes you a fortune, you say, keep, a guy says to the woman, I owe you money, keep the money and that'll be kiddushin. A milva is not good for kiddushin. Milva is understood when a person borrows money, the money's spent, the money's given to be spent, it's as if it's not here. For Kiddushin, the husband has to give the wife something, the man has to give the woman kesef, if he's doing Kinyan Kesef. He has to give her money. It doesn't help to cancel a debt. Over here, the fact that David let Shaul keep the money and not pay him, that's a tremendous milva. On the other hand, he gave him these orless plishtim that seems to be almost worthless. So do you want to say David really had in mind that this payment somehow is the Kiddushin? So Shaul said that David had in mind that canceling the debt would be the Kiddushin. And if so, it's really not a Kiddushin. Because a milv is not a good for Kiddushin, and therefore she's not married to David. So he took Michal and he gave it to somebody else, gave it to Palti. David felt no. He gave that orless plishtim. It's worth something, and therefore he's married as a result of that. And another opinion, the Gemara says, the actual machlekes is that worth anything? There's not a piece of skin. What can you do with it? You give it to the cat or the dog or something. It's almost worthless. It's a pruta. A machlekes, whether it's worth anything. But I say it's a complicated discussion. The Gemara has another point to be mentioned is, you can't say he's getting paid for the job. If you kill all these plishtim, the work, the whatever, the value of that should be kiddushin. Because there's a discussion about yeshnal ischirus mitchila vad soif. If somebody's doing a job, it's like as every little bit of value accrues, it's like it's already owed. It becomes like an immediate loan. But it gets into a very intricate halacha dispute between Shaul and David. That Shaul felt, in short, that his daughter Michal was never married to David. A promise had been made, but David never gave Kesef Kiddushin. He had promised David, but David never gave Kesef Kiddushin. Could be Shaul just sort of with that he didn't want to accept it. But Michal wasn't married, and therefore Shaul gave her to Palti. David felt that she was that she was his wife. And we'll see, Palti also understood that, and therefore he didn't. It was not a kiddushin. She was never married to Palti, because if a married woman marries a different man, lo yuchal bayla harishain, the first husband can never take her back. So if there's a divorce and the woman remarries, she can't go back to the first husband. So obviously, if she went to Palti, David understood that she was always married to David. What happened with Palti had no effect. It was not a kiddushin. And even if Palti would have lived with her, but she did it with the permission of Beis Din. Shaul and his Beis Din allowed. It's like if a woman thinks her husband died, and she went to Beis Din, and Beis Din said she could remarry. And then, sure enough, in walks in the husband. After Beis Din Paskin, there were two Edom, and it was clear, a heter from Beis Din. So in a case like that, she's an anusa, it's an accident, and she's permitted to the first husband. But I say all these, there are cases where she is permitted, where she's not permitted. All these things are very involved halacha discussions. But Shaul gave his daughter Michal to Palti, and we'll see later on, David got her back, and we'll see what happens. We're up to Perek Chav Vav. Today's shiur is sponsored as a Zchus Refuah Shleima for a number of Cholim. For Aryeh Leib, Ben Esther Chaya Rochel, Avram Yisrael ben Chaya Leah, Yosef Kalman ben Matel. They should have Refuah Shleima, B'soch Shor Chol Yisrael. Yeah. Okay, Perek Chav Vav. Vayavo HaZifim El Shaul. The people of Zif came to Shaul, HaGivoso was in Giva, Lamor sang. Hello, David Mistater. David is hiding the Givas HaChachila in the hill. HaChachila of that place. Apnei HaYishimon. Overlooking the Yeshimon, David's over there. Now, previously, the Zifim again had previously in Perek Chav Gimel had also turned to Shaul and told Shaul where David was. There they had said in Perek Chav Gimel Pasuk Yud Tes, they said, David is hiding, Halo David Mistater Imanu, David is hiding with us. Now, perhaps you could have said over there they had perhaps some limud zechus. David had wiped out the whole city of Nov. David had fled to Nov, and when the people in Nov helped him out, the city was wiped out. So perhaps the Zifim felt in danger. David is hiding among them. They figured they better let Shaul know in advance that it's not their plan, and they're not helping David, and they're not on David's side, but he's hiding with us. Don't think, they're using him, their human shields are somehow they're on David's side or they're helping him. But no, David happens to be hiding among us. Over here, there's no heter. Over here, they're just saying David is hiding b'givas hachachila. He wasn't necessarily with them. They just went to Shaul and they said where David is. And it could be you would have learned Peshat that they were just felt loyal to Shaul and they felt that David was Shaul was the Mashiach Hashem and he's the king and they had to help the king. But Chazal and in Tehillim you see clear the intention of the Zifim was not altruistic, it was Poshet Lashon Hara. That the Zifim went and they said David is hiding, but give us a Chachila, they just wanted to turn in David. Apnei Ayishimu. And again, we had before in the end of Perek Chof Dalet, where Shaul had gone into the cave, and David was there, and David cut off the corner of his garment. At that point, Shaul had promised to David that he wouldn't hurt him, and he knows that David is the tzaddik, tzaddik atami meni, in the end of Perek Chof Dalet. And he spoke at length that he wouldn't hurt David, and he realized that David is right. And it's hard to know if Shaul would have ever gone after David again. But again, you see throughout, there are people who are inciting this machloikis. Or the Zifim come to Shaul, and they tell Shaul, David's hiding here. So it's again, they're looking to... They tell it to Shaul, expecting Shaul to act on it. And Shaul indeed, Vayokam Shaul, Shaul gets up, Vayered al Midbar Zif, and he goes down to the desert of Zif. Vito Shlosha Salofim Ish Bechure Yisrael. There's 3,000 men, the chosen of Yisrael. Meaning not only were they top warriors and fighters, but they were chosen in all types of ways. Bechure Yisrael, they were chosen like the Jewish soldier was expected to be, besides a strong fighter, but Yerei Shamayim and Ish Aliyah, Chosh of a person. These were Bechure Yisrael. Levakesh es David b'midbar zif. And they went seeking David in Midbar Zif. Now earlier, when they came the first time, Shaul knew that David was going to hide. And Shaul had told the people of Zif, find out exactly where David is. In other words, I don't want to come until we know exactly where it is and exactly where the hideouts are. He had said... find out all the mikol ha-machavoyim asher yischabe shom, every place where he could hide and get back to me with definite knowledge so that when I go in I'll definitely catch David. I don't want to go running here and there. Could be at this point Shaul figures that David won't be so much on the lookout because Shaul had promised that he wouldn't do anything. Here he just gets up and he goes to Midbar Zif without any big investigations or scouting out the area first. He just goes with his army and he figures he'll catch David. Levakish is David b'midbar zif. Vayichan Shaul b'givas ha-chachilo. Shaul camped in the hill of the chachilo. Asher al-pnei ha-yeshimon, overlooking the yeshimon al-adorach by the road. V'David yoshev b'midbar. David was residing in the desert. Vayar and he saw kivos Shaul achrov, that Shaul came after him hamidbara to the desert. Now at this point, David is there. He doesn't know for sure that the Zifim went and they told Shaul. He's staying there in the desert and he notices it looks like Shaul and his men are coming, but he's not 100% sure. Are they coming? Are they coming after him? So vayishach David meraglin. David sent out spies, scouts. Vayeda and he knew kivos Shaul el nochun, that Shaul had indeed come. This is true. He came. So now he knew where Shaul was, and Shaul was after him. And David acts. Vayokum David. David got up. Vayovo el hamokum asher chona shom Shaul, and he came to the place where Shaul was camping. Vayar David, and David saw es hamokum asher shochav shom Shaul, the place where Shaul was lying. V'Avner ben Ner Sartzvo with his general, Avner ben Ner. V'Shol Shochev Bamagol, Shol was sleeping and there was a circle around him. So no matter from any direction that you approach, you're going to have to encounter the other soldiers before you get to Shol. He's right in the middle. V'Ho'am Chonim Svivosov, and the people are camped around him. Or Shaul seems to be lying down. Shaul's sleeping. Asher shochav shom Shaul. He went to sleep. But the other people and around are chayim sivivoy. So they camped around him. They're not sleeping. A lot of them are awake. They're supposed to be on guard duty. So he knows exactly where Shaul is. Vayan David. David called out Vayomer el Achimelech Achiti, and he said to two of his men. He said to Achimelech Achiti. Pashut, because some learn he was a ger, in other words, he came from Chais, from one of the. He was a ger. Could be he was given the name Achimelech after Shaul wiped out, killed Achimelech, who was the Kohen in Nov. He wiped out the whole city. Maybe he was given the name Achimelech. But David said to Achimelech Achiti, Vel Avishai ben Tsruya, and to Avishai ben Tsruya, Achi Yoav, who was the brother of Yoav. And we're going to learn from here till the rest of Shmuel. We're going to learn a lot about the brothers, about the children of Tsruya. Avishai and Yoav, and we'll see there's another brother, Asael. And it was a very hush of a family, and we'll see, especially the way Yoav conducted himself with David. But here we're introduced to Avishai ben Tsruya, Achi Yoav, the brother of Yoav. And Chazal say he was a very great person. He was Shokul Keruba Shel Sanhedrin. In his greatness, he was equal to the majority of the Sanhedrin. And as he was a tremendous, tremendous Godol and Talmud Chacham and Tzaddik. David said to Achimelech and to Avishai, who was the brother of Yoav, Lamor saying, Miyerid Iti El Shol, who will go down with me to Shol El Hamachne to the camp? Or David could have given a command that you must come with me, but here he requests them. They're going to be putting their life in danger because they're going to go right up to Shoal. You know, they're going to go through all the enemy lines. They're going to go through and get to Shoal. Who volunteers? Mi'erid Itiel Shoal Alamachne. Who will come down to the camp? Vayomer Avishai. Avishai said, Ani Erid Imoch. I will go down with you. And once again, it's interesting. We'll see later on. Like the Ralbag makes a mention and the lessons that we learn from these parshios. And the Ralbag mentions one lesson you learn is Ein Soimchem Al Hanes. Because David knew that he was the Mashiach Hashem, he was anointed, and he knew with the Nevuah from Shmuel Hanavi he was definitely going to be the king. And yet you find he always was running away from Shaul. He didn't rely on Hanes and say, I'll stay home, and Shaul can't kill me because Shmuel said, I'll live. Shmuel said, Malchus Beis David will come from me. He didn't say that. He always ran away. Because ain't Slimchem al Hanes. So even though you know your life is secure, you have to do what's a normal Hishtadlus. Yet, you find sometimes that Mistama was with Ruach HaKadosh that David HaMelech knew, that we're going to see right now he's L'chayra putting himself into a sakana. We're going to see he's going to go right up to Shaul. And it's not even that he's going to kill Shaul or whatever. And he's just going to go to Shaul to teach him a lesson that I'm not against you. And I really, I'm not a Moirid B'Malchus, I'm not against you. But he puts his life in danger. Obviously, it was with Ruach HaKadosh, he knew that this was, that he would be safe and that this should be done. So Avishai volunteered. He said, Ani Erid Imoch, I'll go down with you. Vayavo David Vavishai El Ha'am. David and Avishai came to the people Laila at night. V'hinei Shaul shochev yoshein. Shaul was lying down. He was sleeping. Bamagol in that circle. V'chanisa mu'ucha v'aretz. And his spear was pressed deep into the ground. Mirashosav by his head. Whenever it mentions Shaul, he's always holding the spear. His spear is right next to him. Kubi still has that ruach ror. But he's always with that spear right next to him. V'avner v'ha'am and Avner and the people shoichvim s'vivoisav. They're also sleeping. We'll see in a moment. Everyone's sleeping. Even the people on guard duty. They're all shoichvim s'vivoisav. And they came at night. Now, it could be, we'll see in a moment, could be David felt at night they wouldn't recognize, especially he's going to tell Avishai that he should be the one to go. David might have been more recognizable. Avishai is just one of the men, and he's obviously a Frum Yid. He looks like one of the group, and he goes into Shaul's camp. Maybe he won't be noticed. But they're coming at night when obviously things are not so easily seen. Vayomer Avishai el David. Avishai said to David, Sigar Elokim Hayom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given over today as Oyivcha Biyodecha. He's given your enemy into your hand. Again, this is one of the most difficult things when a person's presented a situation. How do you know if that's a Siman Min HaShemayim or if it's a test? As Avishai tells him, and again, this is part of the Nisayon of David. He's being told this not by just one of the gang. He's being told this by Avishai, who's one of the greatest. And Avishai is saying this is a clear Siman Min HaShemayim. As we're able to get through the camp, everyone's sleeping, and he's right here sleeping. We can do whatever we want. Va'ata now, akenu no, I'll strike him now, bachanis, with the spear of arts in the ground, pama achas, one time. It'll be one blow. Not a sound will be heard. Below Eshno, I won't repeat the blow. In other words, if it's going to take repeated hittings, he's going to wake up, it's going to make noise, it'll be tragedy. But I can strike Shol in one moment, and he'll be killed, and that's it. All this life of running away and living in a sakana will be over, and Shol is roidef after you for no justifiable reason, and... I'll strike him in that the velo eshnal, I won't have to repeat. Vayomer David el Avishai. So David said to Avishai, no, it's not a siman min hashamayim that obviously we're supposed to chas v'shalom kill Shaul. It's an isayon, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to see how we're going to react, and right now, al tashchiseyu, do not destroy Shaul. Ki misholach yodo, who could be the one to send out his hand, b'mashiach Hashem, against the one anointed by Hashem? Shol was anointed by the instructions of Hashem. He's going to be the king. So after he's no longer here, David will be king. But as long as Shol's alive, Shol is the Mashiach Hashem. Who can strike the Mashiach Hashem v'nika and be absolved and be cleansed and consider himself that there's no aveira? To strike Shol, you can't. Such a thing can't happen, and the person will get away b'dinei shamayim. Vayomer David. David said. Now, in Pasuk Tesi, he also said, Vayomer David. It could be Pashup Shad that there was a pause. There was a time delay. It said to Avishai, Al Tashchiseyu, and then maybe Avishai argued back and forth or that they should do something, but the Novi doesn't record it because it's not important. But Vayomer David, David again says, Chai Hashem, by the life of Hashem, which is a lashon of a shavua that David is swearing, Kim Hashem Yigafenu. Hashem will definitely be the one to strike Shol. Yigafenu is like with a magefa, like a plague. Or as he can get sick as an unusual thing, suddenly get sick, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him a magefa and he would die. That's one possibility. O Yomo Yovo Vames, or perhaps his natural end. His day will come and he'll die. Ova milchoma yered, or perhaps he'll go down to battle, and suddenly, like a mikra, one of the things that happens, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will cause that he should die. Ova milchoma yered v'nispa, and he'll perish. But I swear that that's what's going to happen. In other words, we are not going to be involved, and we're not going to do anything to show. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of it. Chalila li me Hashem. It would be mundane, it would be a disgrace, it's below me, to me Hashem from Hashem, Mishloach Yodi b'Mashiach Hashem, that I should send out my hand against the Mashiach Hashem. Va'ata now kachnos hachanis, take the spear, Hashem Rashosav, that's by his head, ves tzapach asamayim, and the jug of water, v'neil cholonu, will go on our way. Just take what's next to Shaul's head, and we'll leave. He said to take the water. Pashup Shad is he kept a jug of water, maybe for drinking. The Amlois brings down a chazal that he was telling him, you see that clearly, your weapons don't help. You have a spear by your head, doesn't help, we'll take the spear. And even your food, your drink, that's also gone. In other words, everything is totally in HaKadosh Baruch, and he was telling Shol that Shol shouldn't pay attention to him. And everything is totally in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and David's not a threat. Don't rely on the spear, don't rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and leave David alone. I saw a pshat in the tape was clicking. I just rewound a second. So David took the spear and the jug of water, and so he sent Avishai to take the spear and to take the jug of water, and they would go on their way. The Likutei Ma'arich explains that the jug of water was put next to Shaul's head so that Shaul could wash Negelwasser in the morning when he wakes up. The Zohar says a person shouldn't walk Dalet Amos when he wakes up in the morning without washing his hands. So he brings down in the halachas of the morning with washing when you wake up, he brings down this inyan, and he says David took the tzapachas hamayim because he knew if Shaul would all of a sudden wake up, Shaul wouldn't come running after him because he can't wash Negelwasser. Shaul would have to ask the other men to bring him water to wash his hands. And in that few minutes, a little bit of a delay, David would be gone. So he took he told Avishai to take the spear and to take the jug of water. V'neil cholon, and we'll go on our way. V'yikach David esachanis v'estapachas hamayim. David took the spear and he took the jug of water. Me'rashosei Shaul from by the head of Shaul. V'yil cholahem, and they went on their way. Now it could be Avishai took it and then gave it to David, and David went away with it. In other words, but it does seem to say that a minute before he told Avishai to take the spear, and now David is taking it. So as I say, it could be Avishai took it and he gave it to David, and David took the spear and the water and went on and left. Or it could be that David was afraid. He told Avishai, don't do anything to Shaul. And then he told Avishai, take the spear. He was afraid Avishai might take the spear and indeed kill Shaul. As he told Avishai, or maybe he saw that Avishai hesitated. So what's interesting is he just told Avishai to take the spear, but the Novi says, Vayikach David esachanis, David took the spear, v'sapach asamayim, and the jug of water, me'rashosei Shaul from the head of Shaul, v'yelchu lehem, and they went on their way. Vein roeh, nobody saw. Vein yodea, nobody knew. Now it's possible nobody saw because it was nighttime. But if you're ever sleeping in a dark room and somebody walks by, sometimes you don't see, but you're aware there's something going on. But here, Vein Yodea, nobody even knew. Vein Mekitz, and nobody woke up. Kichulam Yeshenim, because they were all slumbering, they were all sleeping. Ki Tardemas Hashem, a deep sleep from Hashem, Nafla Alehim fell on them. There were 3,000 men. As it was a clear tardema from Hashem, it's almost a nace that to go straight in the center of such a camp, and you're obviously going by many people, and that nobody woke up. Perhaps this conversation took place right outside or right there. And I don't even know if there was talking within earshot of these people, but certainly their movement, and nobody woke up. We learned before, just in Pasuk Yud, David had said, Chai Hashem. He gave a shvua. He swore that we're not going to do anything to Shaul. The Gemara says that it is a mitzvah to make a shvua to be Mekayim a mitzvah. Sometimes a person's in a situation where he has a very big nisayon. He's afraid he's going to be nichshol and do an aveira, or he just doesn't feel the drive to do a mitzvah. And it brings down by David HaMelech. David HaMelech said in Tehillim, Nishpati vo akayema, I made a shvua and I carried it through Lishmor Mishpatei Tzidkecha, to keep the Torah. That sometimes a person is in a nisayon and he's not sure how to act or if he'll be able to do the right thing. Giving a shvua like increases the risk and increases the achrayas to carry it through. Over here, what David was saying was, Chai Hashem, there were reasons that Shaul should have been killed. The very fact that Avishai said to David, Hashem gave him over to you today. The same argument we had when Shaul and David were together in the cave, and David cut off the corner of Shaul's garment. And at that time, his people said, kill Shaul. And David said, no, we're not going to touch the Mashiach Hashem. Okay, so the first time you could understand that. But now that they see Shaul again, after all the promises, again Shaul's after him. So Avishai said to David another time, you know, you didn't get the message the first time, but now again, Sigar Elokim Hayom, Hashem is again giving him over into your hands. Today you should act. We didn't do anything last time, and you see that Shaul is still coming after you. David was convinced that they shouldn't do anything to Shaul. But it was a Nisayon. There was a pressure that they should kill Shaul. So David went ahead and he made a Shavua. Chai Hashem. It's wrong to kill Shaul and I make a Shavua. So before the Shavua, you could say if he would have killed Shaul, he thought it was wrong, but there's always a justification. I was going to get to Shemaim and they'd say, how come David killed Shaul, the Mashiach Hashem? He could always say, true, Shaul's the Mashiach Hashem, I'm also the Mashiach Hashem. We're both Mashiach Hashem. And I was told by Shmuel that I should be the king, and Shaul is the Roidev, and I'll be Derech Hateven, or is the way thing, in words, he's the Roidev, he's after my life. So there's a Heter to kill him. And here was Paskin by Avishai and his men who were great Gedolim, that David had a right to kill Shaul. So David always had that test, that even though he said and he knew that it was wrong, but it's not absolute, it's not clearly wrong. There are those who say that it's mutter. And therefore he made a Shavua, to strengthen himself. Of course, if somebody breaks the Shavua, so then it becomes an additional Aveir. In other words, a Shavua is not an advisable thing under normal situations. That's why very often a person should say something, Bali Neder, in other words, he doesn't want a Neder, he doesn't want a Shavua, because if Chas V'Shalom he's Nichshol, he gets an additional Aveir. But Rav Dessler, the Michtam Elio, says an interesting idea. In our, but the lesson of making a Shavua to like increase the risk involved and to increase the feeling of achrayis to see something through. He says, nowadays also, if a person wanted to, let's say, stop a bad habit, guy wants to give up smoking or give up drinking or you go on a diet or whatever the person wants to correct, and it's a very difficult thing. So you're right, Bizman Chazal, very often if a person knew something he had to do and it was hard to do, it would make a Shavua. And then, you know, if a guy makes a Shavua, I'm not going to eat. You know, I'm not going to eat cake for a year or something like that. And the guy makes a Shavua, so a guy knows that that's Mamash and Issa Doraisa. He doesn't eat Chazer, so if he said he's not going to eat cake the whole year, he can't eat cake. But avoiding a Shavua, there's another idea. And he says what you should do is tell people about it. Of course, you have to have the moral fortitude that you're a guy that keeps his word and doesn't take it flippantly. And you know that when you're telling people, they're going to count on you doing it. But he says, if you tell a number of people what you're planning on doing, and they're like looking to see are you going to carry through, it gives you the strength to do it. And the truth is, l'havdol, I mean, you see, even the goyim are aware of that concept. The whole, you know, Weight Watchers and Alcoholic Anonymous and all these types of groups, they have like a support group and everyone gets together and they discuss what they did the last week and whether they kept their deal or they didn't keep their deal. And it gives a person chizuk. People get together. I mean, there's an Indian here. You have a chabur. Sometimes people have a chabur together and they discuss things of Yira Shemayim, that they want to correct something, they want to improve themselves. And if you know you're part of a group and you're all working on a goal, everyone feels, you know, for myself, I would slip and I wouldn't do it. But everyone's looking to me and everyone's counting on me and I gave my word and I said I was going to. It's a way of being mechuzik, but a person, you see this Indian that a number of times we've had, like, they'll make a shvua, in other words, even though I always say, you know, don't swear, just, you know, you say you'll do it. But the truth is, those gedolim people were able to keep by their shvua. There is a place used, it's not something that, you know, we ordinarily would do, but there's a place for a shvua if it's used in the right way. So David says, Chai Hashem, he swears by Hashem that he won't have anything to do with this. Hashem will take care of Shaul and do what should be done. Vayavar David Ho'aver. So David passed over. He left the camp of Shaul. Vayamar al Rosh Ahar, and he stood on top of a mountain. Meirochok, at a distance. Rav Hamokum Beinehem, and there was a large distance between them. As it was only right now, David had left his 3,000 men very far away. He had gone together with Avishai and Achimelech, and then he asked which one of the two wants to come with him. And Achimelech stayed. Could be Achimelech was somewhere in the middle, and he would warn David's men if anything happens, or if they should react, or what should be done. But Achimelech didn't go. It was just David and Avishai. So David made sure to get far away with Avishai before alerting Shaul that he had been around. Vayikra David el Ha'am. Then David called to the people. Vel Avner ben Ner, and to Avner ben Ner, who was Shaul's general, Lamor, and he said, Hello, son Avner! Won't you respond, Avner? He wants to call him again and again and again with no answer. So finally he said, No, Avner, what's going on? Hello, Sana, won't you answer? Vayan Avner Vayomer. So Avner called out and he answered. Mi ata karos el hamelech? Who are you calling to the king? It was in the dark. He didn't know it was David. He heard a voice calling, Hello, Sana Avner. He didn't recognize David's voice. Who are you calling to the king at this hour? Avner was the one, Chazal say, when David was together with Shaul in the cave, and he cut off the corner of Shaul's garment. Afterwards, Avner said to Shaul, David's holding up the corner of the garment, he's showing you, you see, I had the ability to kill Shaul, and I didn't, you see that I'm not against you. Avner said, you know what could have happened? You're walking around, and your corner of your garment caught on a thorn, and it tore off. David found the piece of cloth, and now he's waving it and saying that he cut it off and that he could have killed Shaul. Who says maybe this got ripped off with a thorn? So now David's turning to Avner. He says, Hello, son Avner. Won't you answer, Avner? What are you going to say this time? I have Shaul's spear in the water that was right next to him. Vayomer David el Avner. David said to Avner, Hello, Ishato. You're a chosh of a person. You might be telling Shaul that I'm no good and I'm worthless and I'm the worst person around, but you're a chush of a person. I don't look at you, I don't view you like you view me. I know you're an Ishata. Umi chamocha b'Yisrael, and who's like you in Klal Yisrael? V'lama lo shamarta el adunecha amelech. Why didn't you guard to your master, the king? So at some point out, it could have said, V'lom alo shamarta adonecha hamelech. Why didn't you guard the king? El is mashma, why didn't you guard El, the path to your master, the king? In other words, if you're the general, you should have set up a whole bunch of people on sentry duty and a whole watchman. In other words, you got to guard the path to the king that people can't get access so easily. Kivo acharom, one of the people just comes, L'hashchisas hamelech adonecha, to destroy the king, your master. What kind of responsibility is that? Lo tov hadover hazeh. This matter is not good. Asher osisa that you did. Chai Hashem. I swear by Hashem, kivnei moves atem, you are mechuyev misa, in the plural, all of you people, by Shaul, you're all b'nei moves. And the Mephoshim explain that first he addressed himself to Avner. And he said to Avner, there's nobody on duty. Nobody's looking out for the king. I said, why? You figure you're in the desert and nobody's around and you're safe. Somebody should be on lookout. And assuming you put people on lookout and they fell asleep, so then b'nei moves atem. You're all b'nei moves. You're all chayiv misa. How can you have, in other words, you put up guards and the guards fell asleep. So then the guards are chayiv misa. But in any case, something terrible is going on in the camp. Ashelo shemartem al adonechem. You didn't guard your master. Al Mashiach Hashem. You're dealing with the one who was anointed by Hashem. You're dealing with Shaul. Va'ata now re'esi. Eichanis hamelech. Where is the spear of the king? Ves'tzapachas hamayim Hashem ra shosov. And the jug of water that was by his head. Where are they? Some point out that it was easy. They were working in the dark. But the spear was right near Shaul's head. So it was almost like a landmark. In other words, they're walking among the dark crowd, but there must have been a little bit of light or whatever, and you could see the spear sticking up. So they were able to go right near, Shaul, and it was easy to get the spear. The spear stuck up. Everyone else is lying on the ground, and the vertical spear is noticeable. But now, where's the spear? Vayaker Shaul as Kol David. Shaul recognized the voice of David. Vayomer, and he said, Hakol Chazeh, is that your voice? Bini David, my son David. Vayomer David, and David said, Koli, it is my voice. Adoni HaMelech, my master the king. the Me'am Lois mentions, could be he was questioning. He said, "Akol Chazeh b'ni David, is this your voice?" Because when David spoke to Avner, he didn't refer to Shaul as his king. Always he used to refer to Shaul as his king. While in his speech to Avner, he said, "Your king, your master. You didn't guard your master, the king." And why didn't? And he didn't refer to him as his. So Shaul says, "Is that your voice?" As he was sort of shocked that David didn't refer to him as king. So David said, "Koli Adoni Hamelech." No, it's my master, the king. Now, as no, he's still accepting Shaul as the king, and he's not a Morid B'malchus. Vayomer. And he said, "Lomaze Adoni Rodef Achri Avdo." Why is this my master? Why are you chasing after your servant? I'm your servant. Why are you pursuing me? Kimeo Sisi, what did I do? Uma biyodi ro, and what bad is in my hands? In other words, everyone's speaking Lashon Hara, and they're all saying David's no good, and David's a terrible person, and they're all assuming from different events that happened that it's just a proof of David's character. Tell me directly. In other words, if there's something, people are, instead of speaking about me behind my back, David says, tell me directly. Tell me exactly what your tain on me is, and I'll explain. But instead you're pursuing me as an enemy, and it's baseless. By the way, there's a chazal that says David had questioned on a number of items why Hashem created it. Why Hashem made a spider. Well, what's the purpose of a spider? Making a spider spins its webs. And what's the purpose of people who are a shaita, are crazy? It's not their fault, but why did Hashem create such a type of machlo? And why did Hashem create a tzira, a wasp, or a hornet, one of these stinging insects? Well, what did Hashem create it for? So David was shown that these three items all had a purpose. When he went into the cave, and he was in the back of the cave, and Shaul had come into the cave, Shaul had thought maybe David's in the back. But when he went to look, there was a spider's web blocking the entrance. HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused that a spider spun a web blocking the entrance, and David was behind that web. So Shaul figured, oh, if there's a spider's web, obviously nobody came. What are the chances of the spider's web being made right now? Spider's web ordinarily takes a long time to make. It must be nobody's in the back. Nobody's in the back of the cave. So the spider's web saved David's life. We had earlier when David was running away from Shaul, he had gone among the Plishtim, and when they identified him, they said, "This is David, the Melech Haaretz. That's the one that killed tens of thousands." So David had to act like a shaita, like a fool, that nobody should think he's a rational person. Nobody should think he's David. People would think he's Stam a crazy person. And Achish had enough of crazy people like that. Chasam Shugayim Ani, what? I don't have enough crazy people there. You bring another one and you say it's David. So anyways, the craziness saved his life. And the case with the tzira, with that stinging insect, the hornet, was over here. That when David came to take the spear and the flask of water that was next to Shaul, Avner was there, and somehow, the way Avner was lying, David got pinned between the legs of Avner. David was walking, all of a sudden Avner gave a turn, he got caught between Avner's legs. And at that point, for David to force himself out would have woken up Avner. So a tzira came, I don't know, obviously it wasn't a strong, maybe it's not a wasp or a hornet, but some type of sting, but obviously it was just enough to get Avner to move his legs, and David escaped without Shaul being aware of it. Now David says to Shaul, "Why are you chasing after me?" Va'ata now in Pasuk Yutes, Yishma no Adoni Hamelech, my master the king should hear, Eis Divrei Avdo. Hear the words of your servant. Im Hashem hasischa bi, if Hashem is the one who is inciting you against me. In other words, people have nothing to do with it, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to suffer. For some reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving me this nisoyon and these yisurim that I'm on the run, and I'm having this miserable life. Im Hashem hasischa bi, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing it and people have nothing to do, it's completely from Hashem, Yorach Mincha. So Hashem will smell kaviyocha, like a reyach nichoach. He'll smell my korban mincha. Meaning I can bring a korban, And it doesn't even have to be a tremendous carbon with parim and elim and kavasim. It could be a simple mincha. I can bring a carbon. If it's a bein adam la'makayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands my machshavas. And with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I can work something out. I can bring a carbon. I can find rotzen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's not such a big problem. Im Hashem hesischa bi, if it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yorach mincha. I can bring a carbon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu smell the reich nichayach, and I won't have a problem. But v'im b'nei ha'adam, if people are behind this, arurim heim lifnei Hashem, so then they're cursed before Hashem. Meaning if people are behind this, in other words, it could be obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu is maskim to let them do this, but sometimes the way other people view something, for instance, in a positive way, I say this shir is li'ili as a refuah shleima for chaylim. Part of the idea that when other people are mispalel for chaylim, or they do generate zechusim for chaylim, part of the inyan is because a certain chayla, for whatever reason, has a decree to be sick. But if others care about him, could be we don't deserve to suffer because he's sick. A person might have whatever din shemayim. But when we're mishtatef in the tsar, and you have a tzibur, you have people are mispalel, so Atzur Tamim Pa'aloi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu works so that nobody suffers more than he needs to, or than is decreed. And the more people that are mishtatif, the tzibur doesn't deserve, let's say, to suffer, or the person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes everything into effect. So the more people take the suffering to heart, and the more people are mishtatif in the tzar of the chayla, the more people are mispalel, the fact that other people care, so the zchusim of the other people are brought to bear on this. Why should the other people be suffering? The other person, a person spent a long time davening for the chayla. Why does the person davening? Doesn't the person davening deserve to be answered? So the more people that are involved with the chayla, even if the chayla himself might not have been zoicha, but with others, certainly he'll, in Yirtzeh Hashem, be zoicha and he'll have a refuah shleima. Here, it's the negative. But if other people are against David, or they're against, so now the question is, in other words, other people are want, so obviously nothing happens unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu works out all the cheshbonos that everything, nobody gets more than he deserves, or everything's worked with a cheshbon. But if there are other people who are makatreg, and other people are saying that he deserves a punishment, it's in general like Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is also Ma'ira Kitrug. If you say somebody's bad, or somebody deserves a punishment, so in Shemayim, they hear it's already, there's a Kitrug. So in B'nai Ha'adim, if there are people that are causing Shol to turn against me, against David, so Arurim Heim Lifnei Hashem. They're cursed before Hashem. Because they're making me suffer and they're causing David difficulties, which we'll see that David feels it's Kigershuni Hayom. Because you've driven me out today, may he stapeach b'nachlas Hashem, from joining myself to the Nachlas Hashem. I want to be part. I want to be like somebody in Eretz Yisrael. Hoshem Shah Nachlas Hashem is Eretz Yisrael. I want to be joined to Eretz Yisrael. And the fact that they're slandering me to show, I'm now driven out. I'm going to have to go running away. Leimor saying lechavod Elohim Acherim. It's like the saying, "Go be oyver avodah zara." We don't care about you, David. We're turning Shoal against you. David's going to have to leave Eretz Yisrael. That's like the saying, "Go be oyver avodah zara." You're discounted from Kal Yisrael, from Eretz Yisrael. Go be oyver avodah zara. And as Rashi brings down from the Gemara says, if somebody hayotze me Eretz Yisrael lechutz laretz, if somebody leaves Eretz Yisrael to go to chutz laretz, it's ki'ilu oyver avodah zara. It's like he's oyver avodah zara. The Ramban has a discussion in Achrei Mos, and the Ramban explains how, in a number of places, the Ramban writes how the Iker Mokum of Kiyum HaTayr is Eretz Yisrael, and here we're in Golis, we're preparing ourselves. In other words, all the mitzvahs are a chi of Daraisa here also, there's no question. But when you daven here, and every mitzvah you do in Chutz Laretz, you're being a kayim a mitzvah Daraisa, and in Yirtzeh Hashem, that's a preparation, we'll be able to do it in Eretz Yisrael. But the whole purpose, the perfection of living the Yiddish life is in Eretz Yisrael. And the Ramban writes that all the nations of the world, all the Shivim Umos, and all the lands of the world have a Malach in Shemayim. And therefore, whichever place you're in, there's a certain Malach for America. And of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu oversees everything, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets the Malach have a more direct control. And of course, the Malach is under Hashem, Hashem knows what's going on. But Eretz Yisrael has no Malach. Eretz Yisrael is directly, Eine Hashem Elokecha Bo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is focused on Eretz Yisrael without any Malachim. So if a guy leaves Eretz Yisrael, you're leaving the Hashpah where you're directly under HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkocha, and you're going to Chutz La'aretz, where there are malachim, there are angels, and others that are sort of in between. The interesting thing is that Gemara, the Satmar Rav of Yoyel, Zatzal, it says in his Sefer Vayol Moshe, this Gemara is not brought down in Halacha. It's not brought down by the Rif, and Rosh, and Tur, and Shulchan Aruch. It's not brought down in Halacha. What the Gemara says, that leaving Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz is like he's like, you got a Avodah Zarah. And he explains that the truth is it's not leaving Eretz Yisrael is not the point is because Eretz Yisrael is the place where you have the Klal Yisrael and you're able to keep the Torah and mitzvahs. But if a person were to go in Chutz La'aretz and he's leaving the in other words the other pshatim in this Gemara. Are that you've driven me away, mistapech benachas Hashem, from joining the Nachas Hashem, means when Klal Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael, you're together with Oivdei Hashem and with Yirei Shemayim, and you're able to serve Hashem. And if a guy goes to Chutz La'aretz where you don't have that group of Yidden, it affects your Avodas Hashem. But lahalacha to say that if a person has a frum community in Chutz La'aretz, that it, and he leaves from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, it's not put down lahalacha. But over here, David, whichever the Pesha was, here David had all the implications of the word. He was leaving Eretz Yisrael. He was leaving the group of Klal Yisrael. The Zayar says, because in Eretz Yisrael they have Karbonis, and in Chutz La'aretz you don't have Karbonis. But all these things, David was being driven out from Eretz Yisrael and from the Jewish people. He's now going to have to go among the Plishtim. He's going to have to be in Chutz La'aretz. And therefore, there's a danger which David overcame, but there's a danger of destroying his ruchnius. Va'ata now al yipol domi arta, my blood shouldn't fall to the ground. Mineged pnei Hashem, from before Hashem, as Hashem should see what I'm going through. Ki yotza melech Yisrael levakesh es paro shechod, the king of Yisrael went out to seek a little gnat, a little bug. Kasher yirdu fakori beharim. Like somebody would go after getting a koiri, which is a chush of a bird, some say a partridge. Or somebody going to get a chush of a bird, like a hunter goes, and they're going to get to catch something. And you're chasing after a little gnat. You're chasing after me, like people would go along the mountains trying to find something good to catch. Another pshat is the koiri is a bird that likes to sit on other birds' eggs. He goes from one place to another, he finds eggs on a nest, and he sits there. Of course, the eggs hatch, and they're not his children. So here, Shaul's chasing after David, like this bird that's going after eggs that they're not going to be his. In other words, your efforts are not going to gain you anything. We'll stop here. Certainly our efforts in learning Navi will gain us the Chaydim Sheva Rafu Shleima, and we should have Le'ara Siyata Dishmayim. For sponsorship opportunities, please call 718-436-3024. Thank you.